Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
John and Lance, along with Dell, bringing in the coach, Jeff Van Gundy, joining us here on ESPN 97.5, just the best basketball analyst in the world. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How's everything?
Man, we are great. Your reaction to the trade?
Well, I think from the Rockets standpoint, they did as well as they could have. I don't know how they could have done better. You still don't get the magnitude of a great player back like Harden is, but knowing that, I think they get a free look at Oladipo in his contract year, see if they think that's a fit going forward. If not, they play the cap space game. And hopefully for them, you know, Brooklyn isn't as good as everyone predicts them to be, and so those picks are more valuable. I think Rafael Stone and his front office group did a terrific job.
I'm going to say, John and I, when we heard Rafael Stone, general counsel, was taking over, it was a little perplexing. Certainly for Rockets fans, I think it was a big concern. We don't really know anything about the guy. But up to this point, the way he's handled everything, the way he's shifted Covington out and was able to free up space for Christian Wood, the way Christian Wood's played, the way he was patient and waited and didn't panic in the Harden deal, I think he's handled this way better than could have been expected for a first-time GM. I mean, this is a lot on your plate, and it would have been very easy to screw some of these things up. And yet, you know, I think everyone mostly has a pretty strong feel about how he's done up to this point.
Agreed. I think you start with the Westbrook situation. You know, they had two, you know, star-type players who demanded to be traded. And I thought him being able to trade for John Wall and get a pick was, again, as good as you could do for Russell Westbrook. And then I think, you know, the Harden thing, and I think he's just done a terrific job, and he's been there a long time, maybe not in front of the camera, but behind the scenes, and he's worked with Daryl and his group, and I think what his group has done over the last 6 weeks has been really impressive, and it gives them hope. It's not the same type of championship hope that they've had in the past, but it is hope. It's a different form of hope, and I think they're well positioned.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. And as I was talking to some people in the front office, Rafael and Eli Wittes have been part of every deal that Daryl has made for a low many years now. So they, while we all think, well, this is, you know, he's new to this, he's been in on all of this stuff since he got here in about 2005. So that's good. What if Oladipo doesn't show up though, Coach? A rumor has it Kevin O'Connor is reporting that he wants to go to Miami. That he doesn't want to be here in Houston.
You know, again, I get the player empowerment, you know, thing that everybody talks about. But that's an abuse of power right there if he decides not to show up. You know, can he get away with not showing up? Sure. But then don't pay him. I do not understand for the life of me why people who sign valid contracts and know the perils of the job, which is being traded. You don't get to pick your workplace in professional sports. You know, James Harden, he worked the system, and he got what he wanted. But for the majority of players, they have to go and play where they're supposed to play. And if he doesn't show up, then he doesn't get paid. It's that simple.
Coach, did you hear the comments from DeMarcus Cousins yesterday after practice where he basically, you know, the Rockets basically said, don't come back to practice, James. It had become a really untenable situation. Did you get to hear Cousins' comments at all when he was asked about that?
I did, and I'll tell you what, I don't know Cousins at all. I do know him reputationally, but you know what impressed me most about that is he put his name to it. You know, he didn't leak it out as an anonymous player, as so many people in sports do now. They want to get their say in, but they don't want to put their name to it. Cousins put his name to it. And I was impressed by that. And you rarely see a player not support the behavior of another player. And again, I'm not in, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of their situation, but I was impressed with Cousins putting his name to it. And I think we all have to ask ourselves, you know, and this goes right to how sport is viewed today. I think the media has a lot to do with the problems with players. Like Harden had to be, you know, he's trying to get to a championship team, right? Because we in the media only give credit to those guys who win championships. Previously, in previous decades, Malone and Stockton weren't ridiculed if they didn't win a championship. They were praised for the pursuit of winning a championship. So Harden feels like for his reputation, he's got to get to a championship caliber team. And he wouldn't be able to get to where he wanted to unless he acted poorly. So he acted poorly. He forced the Rockets' hand by his statements after the game and by his play, his, you know, apathetic play during games. And so he forced his way to get his way. And it was just refreshing to see a player like Cousins say what he really felt and put his name to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. What's James' legacy here, Coach?
Well, see, I don't think the two things should be confused. How he forced his way out, I can understand the Houston fan being disgusted by that. But you cannot diminish what a great, great player he was. You think about it, when he got traded here, he was the sixth man in Oklahoma City. And from game one, when he came here, he was an absolute star. He was a star of stars. One of the greatest scoring threats that we've ever seen in this game. And in many ways, changed the game, whether for better or for worse, however you see it. He changed the course of the direction of the offensive attack in our league. And they won a lot of regular season games. They advanced to a couple Western Conference finals. Was he able to completely get over the hump and win a championship? No, but a lot of great players have not won championships. And a lot of it is due as much to what your shortcomings were, but who you were playing with and who you were playing against. And in his greatest years, he was going up against an all-time great team in the Golden State Warriors. So his ending here should not diminish what a great, great player he was here, what an incredible trade it was here, and what an incredible period of time it was here for the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets fans just went through a great era of basketball, and unfortunately it didn't end in the manner you would have liked it to, either with a championship or with Harden playing out the rest of his time here. But let's not forget what a great player he is.
You're uniquely positioned because of your, you know, You are a season ticket holder of the Houston Texans, so you're uniquely positioned to answer this. We're faced with existential times here in Houston as sports fans. You had the Harden debacle that eventually played itself out, and now is going to lead to, I think, you know, a bit of a rebuilding process. It may not be a lot of fun, but it's necessary. But then also the Deshaun Watson situation, another guy who's very unhappy with the team. And there are similarities between Harden and Watson, but I think Watson's is more about the direction of the organization, where Harden was simply, he wanted to go try to win a championship. How they deal with their issues with the team, I think is going to define both those guys. We saw how Harden responded. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Deshaun responds moving forward.
Yeah, and I think the two situations, while somewhat similar, are dissimilar in this way. The Rockets in this situation didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Harden just came in. At some point, he became disillusioned with their trajectory as far as winning. But they didn't do anything wrong. In fact, the biggest mistake they may have made was listening to Harden too much about personnel, which can happen. You know, just because you're a great, great player doesn't mean you're an expert on knowing who the right pieces are to fit around you. With Watson, it seems a little bit, from what you read, and I don't know too much, self-inflicted in that they asked for his opinion and then didn't even grant the people that he suggested interviews. That doesn't make sense to me. So I think Watson, they're not going to trade Watson. You know, somebody called me up, another season ticket holder yesterday called me up and said, well, what if Jacksonville offered you the number one, a number one the next year? You know, like he was going through this crazy offer. Maybe that brings them to think about it, but I think at the end of the day, what you go into Watson and say is, hey, I screwed up. I asked you your opinion. I didn't really give your opinion as much thought as I should have, but this guy, Nick Caserio, he's good, he's sound, he's solid. Let's start over again. And I think it'll be fine. He's a great, great player. I don't see how you trade the most important position in sport away once you know you have the right guy.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, you mentioned Oladipo and not paying him. The Rockets can do that because they don't have any relationship with Victor Oladipo. You don't want to play, you're not going to get paid. Kyrie Irving is another situation in Brooklyn. Dude, you're hoping to win a championship. You just added another piece that you think you've got a chance to win a championship. How do you deal with this Kyrie situation if you're Brooklyn?
Yeah, really challenging. And I don't want to make light of whatever health issues, physical, mental health issues that he may be going through. And personal days on occasion are acceptable. But if I was an owner, I would not want my players mistaking my compassion for weakness. And at some point, personal days, while being granted, should turn into unpaid personal days. Right now, I believe they're paying him through all of this. But I would not see it for at all being wrong by Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, to at some point say, listen, I understand you need time. Go ahead, take as much time as you want. But you know, this will be your last day of pay until you start working again. I think that would be fair. And for whatever reason, owners are very reluctant to do that. They don't want to be thought of as not friendly to players, but there is a fine line between being friendly and enabling. And I think you have to try to strike the right balance. As far as the Nets in general, I understand what they tried to do. I'm not sure that the Harden trade wasn't a little bit of a hedge against Irving's erratic nature. But if they're all three there, I never thought offense was their problem. I thought defense and rebounding were their problem or their issue as they started this young season. And I'm not sure necessarily how much better, even as great a player as Harden is, I'm not sure how much better this makes him.
No, it's like going from 101-mile-an-hour fastball to 103-mile-an-hour fastball. The fastball is the fastball. 100. It's not really a problem, but yeah, I think this is. I think it's going to be curious, and the big personalities and some of the erratic nature of the personalities, and it is a little reminiscent of when Clyde and Charles joined Dream, and they were fine for a year, but after that, the big alpha personalities really struggled to coexist.
That's why these Nets picks, Coach. When you're talking about 22, 24, 26, and then flipping them in 23, 25, 27, they could be really good because this thing is already falling apart with Kyrie not even showing up. How long is Kevin Durant? How James Harden's only got a couple of years left on his deal before he can opt out? I mean, these picks could be very valuable down the road.
There's no doubt. And listen, it is hard for a fan to say, I can't wait to 2026. You know, I think that pick's going to be worth a lot, right? That's so far away, right? But this is what general managers are charged to do. They're charged to try to make the very, very best out of whatever situations they're dealt. And in this, the seasons go by quickly. And, you know, the Nets, they're all in. They pushed all their chips in. And I think they have some issues still to resolve. Do they have enough good players and shooting around their best players? You know, how do their best players learn to play off the ball? And can they be fulfilled and not frustrated in the sacrifices it's going to take from all three of them? You know, I'm watching Durant last night. He was the only one on the court. And they were playing against the Knicks, and they're not good. But he was free. You know, the ball was flowing through him on every possession. Well, now cut that in thirds. And are any of the three fulfilled by their role? It's easy in theory to think about sacrifice, but usually what we think about with sacrifice is that's for other people to do. Mm-hmm. Star players are not they're not used to sacrificing. Now, Durant did when he played in Golden State, and at the end, he was unfulfilled. So I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out. Do they have enough shooting? What about their inside play? Can DeAndre Jordan play big minutes? Because they also gave up a very good young big in Jared Allen, who I like very much.
Hey, quick question. So I've always, as a team building thing, I've always been intrigued by the concept of the Pistons from the early 2000s, because it was an unusual championship build. What they basically did is they took a team full of good players and they played great together. They played defense, and you know, the model has been preached. You've got to have two superstars, and it was three, and now maybe it's just two. And could the Rockets, should they maybe look at building around a non-superstar in Christian Wood and get a collection of good players who play great together and maybe say, let's try that model and maybe not worry about the trying to get two max dollar, you know, max contract guys and just a bunch of hopefully decent contracts around it?
Well, I mean, the contract of Wall would say, you know, you expect him to be great. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean future. I mean in the future, obviously.
You mean in the future?
Yeah.
Listen, that Pistons build was interesting. They had a bunch of near Hall of Fame players on their team. Chauncey Billups, near Hall of Famer. Rip Hamilton, probably not near Hall of Famer, but very good. Rasheed Wallace, Hall of Fame talent. Ben Wallace, I think, will sneak into the Hall of Fame because of Defensive Player of the Year. So they had a bunch of guys. And
Tayshaun Prince.
Well. Yeah. But, like, you can't go down a level. Like, Christian Wood is intriguing, and I think it looks like it was a very good move. Whether you could build around if he's good enough or they have enough good pieces. But there are many ways, as you know, Lance, to win. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to follow the path of everybody else, but you do need elite talent to win big in the NBA because of the nature of the, you know, the playoffs, how it's set up. You know, 4 out of 7, 4 series, you got to get 16 wins. To try to do that without elite talent, see, I would say, I would argue the Pistons had elite talent. It was just underappreciated talent.
Okay.
Jeff Van Gundy, the best in the business, and we really appreciate your time, Coach. Thanks for the insight, and let's talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5.